Well, friends, right into the lesson today. This morning, I would like to speak about three churches. Now, straight away, that would probably put us offside with some who have listened to tradition and believe that there is one true church. But of course, we have joyed in the great fact that the principle of right division enables us to find deeper understanding in the Word, and we recognize that Israel is a church, a called out company. God called Abraham, and this is what he said to him. Go out of your country, he said to Abraham, and from your kindred and from your father's house into a land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those that bless you and curse those who curse you. Isn't it a wonderful thing? And in you shall all families of the earth be blessed. Right here, friends, in this gospel preached to Abraham, and we know it was good news, wasn't it? We find a purpose for the earth unfolding now through one man and his offspring. Here is a called out company called the nation, and that is Israel. And we see that this called out company is very clearly identified with the earth and a land. However, in this great nation, we find that there is a remnant within it. There's always been a remnant. In Genesis 46, 3 and 4, God speaking to Isaac, wrong, Jacob, I better skip a generation, he says to him, do not be afraid to go down into Egypt, for I will make of you a great nation. And I will go down with you into Egypt, and I will also surely bring you up again. And Joseph shall put his hand on you. So this formation of this great nation was going to take place in Egypt. As the prophet said, out of Egypt I have called my son, my firstborn. You do remember, and I'm hoping you can remember these things, that when Moses went to Pharaoh at the after their duration down there, he said, let my firstborn go. Israel are God's adopted son, the heirs of God in the earth, and as such they have an inheritance. Now, we know that they have an inheritance, and we know where the inheritance is. In Genesis 15, their inheritance is this. God made a covenant, an unconditional covenant with Abraham, and said, I have given this land to your seed from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. Now that is that wider and outer dimensions of this land that was given to Abram's seed. So, this morning we have seen already that God has a purpose for all the families of the earth through this man Abraham and his descendants. And as God is a faithful God, he kept his promise. Israel did become a great and mighty nation. Now, this great and mighty nation was told that God had a plan for them. And this plan, as you know, out of one of my favorite Old Testament chapters, can be found in Exodus 19, verse 6. After God had redeemed them from Egypt because they were under Gentile dominion, he said through Moses, "You shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the sons of Israel." This company, this church called Israel, this great nation, these descendants of Abraham, were to be a kingdom of priests. And you might like to look at Isaiah 61 as well. Now, if they were to be a kingdom of priests, then they are incomplete, aren't they, without Christ. Now, how is Christ related to this kingdom? Well, isn't it wonderful? When David, remember, thought to build a house for God, God told David that he will build a house for him. God said in 2 Samuel 7:10, "I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and I will plant them, so that they may dwell in their own, a place of their own, and have moved no more." Do you see? This is part of the promise God gave to David, a king. And he said, look, I had to say it, didn't I? "When your days are fulfilled, and you shall sleep with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, who shall come out of your bowels, and I will make his," what? "Kingdom sure." So, here's God promising to Abraham a great and mighty nation, unconditional promise, an unconditional land. And here now is another promise to David that he would have a son, and this son would be a king with a kingdom, just as David was. And I'm going to now come way down to Zechariah the prophet. Zechariah chapter 6, verse 13. There's going to be a branch, a man whose name is the branch. Zechariah 6, 12. "And speak to him, saying, so speaks Jehovah of hosts, saying, behold the man, whose name is the branch, and he shall spring up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord." Ah. "Even he shall build the temple of Jehovah, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule on his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne. And the council of peace shall be between them both." Oh, well now, we have a great and mighty nation in a specific land. They have a redemption by blood as typified in Egypt. And the one who is the Passover lamb will be a priest king on his throne where the temple is built. And Israel will be a kingdom of priests. Now, this particular company is featured with two dimensions. And I want to go quickly back to Genesis chapter 13. And in Genesis chapter 13, the Lord told Abraham to do this. He said, "Rise up and walk through the land in the length and in the breadth of it, for I will give it to you." I do not get sidetracked by mentioning that this is the inner portion of the land, but it does lead us to the next company. But before we go there, can we now sum up that in Scripture we have Israel, the seed of Abraham, a great nation coming, formed in Egypt, redeemed by the blood, brought into the inner portion of the land and told to occupy all of it way out to the Euphrates. A king was promised. They were to be priests. All families of the earth were to be blessed through them. And Christ is a king priest upon his throne in that day. And that nation are God's sons on the earth. That's the first called out company. Now, having spoken about the inner portion of the land, let's talk about the second church, or the second called out company. Do you know, in the matter of Assyria attacking, we have seen in the prophet that God said he would preserve a remnant. You can find also this in 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 31. In Numbers 26, 64 and 65, you'll also read about a remnant. When Joseph spoke to his brothers in Egypt, he said, "You thought you sent me to Egypt, but God sent me here to preserve a remnant." Within this nation of Israel, there are those who are faithful. There have been those who have demonstrated faith obedience, just like Abraham. Abraham was tried. Abraham was tested. His faith was put to the flame, if you will. And ultimately, Abraham was so strong in faith that he offered up his only son. And there is a called out company that is identified with Abraham and this faith active, faith obedience, or as Paul writes in Romans, obedience of faith. Now this is not saying that Abraham was saved or made righteous by the obedience of the faith he had. No, he believed God and spoke and acted. And identified with Abraham were Jews and also Gentiles who were the second, or made up this second great company called the remnant. Now this remnant feature, as I have mentioned, in Israel's history. Remember, out of those brought out of Egypt, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10, but with many of them God was not well pleased. And ultimately into the land went Joshua and Caleb. Two, a remnant. Remember when Moses went up to meet God in the mountain, in that same Exodus context, 70 elders of Israel also went up and met the Lord, a remnant, a choice remnant. Now that is something that we know about, and I want to go to Psalm 79 and show you this remnant. You'll find it in verse 11. The psalmist says, "Leave a remnant of those who are to die." Remember in Isaiah 10, there was the king of Assyria coming down and boasting, but God was going to preserve a remnant, wasn't he? In Joel chapter 2, there is a remnant, and this is a very important remnant. Because you know, don't you, that this remnant is in Jerusalem and will be saved. And Joel chapter 2 verse 32 is featured in the Gospel of Peter when he said, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation," because God had spoken to Israel in type and shadow and prophecy that he would destroy the wicked from among the nation and preserve a remnant. And this remnant had an adoption too. They were a called out company. Oh yes, this remnant started way back from Abel, who by faith offered a sacrifice. Read Hebrews 11. Joel 2:32, and it shall be whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For salvation shall be in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom Jehovah shall call. Oh, a called out company, a remnant. Yes, Peter featured Joel in his gospel in Acts 2. And Paul features Joel in Romans chapter 10. It's Paul who writes about a remnant in Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 11. When the nation of Israel as a whole were not listening and calling upon the name of the Lord. Now this remnant has an adoption as well. But before we show that adoption, let's go to back to Isaiah chapter 10, and I want to link this remnant here with Paul's writing. Isaiah 10:22. Here is the prophet speaking about this remnant, and we're going to go to Romans 9:27. This, do you see, in a context where God has called the believing Jews and Gentiles of the Acts period. See the word called in Romans 9:24? Well, that's the one who called upon the Lord in Joel 2. Jews and Gentiles, and now here's Paul quoting the very passage that we read. Here is this remnant, God says. 9:27, I should have posted. Here is this quote from Isaiah 10. So, in the Acts period, as the message went out to the nation as a whole, here is a remnant out of the nation. Oh, look, I spoke about adoption, and I want to come back to the top of the chapter. Did you know that in Romans 9, Paul speaks about Israel? And here they are. The nation has this adoption. Do you see that? They are God's heirs on the earth. They have an adoption. But in chapter 9:27, out of this one lump, there is a remnant. Here it is in 9:27 again, and in chapter 11:5-6. A remnant out of this nation. Two called out companies. A remnant. So where is the adoption for this remnant? How are they identified with Abraham? Well, let's go to an Acts period epistle written by Paul, Galatians chapter 4. Now it says in 4:4, when the fullness of time came, God sent his Son, coming into being out of a woman, having come under the law. Do you see, the setting of Galatians is Israel and the earth, isn't it? That he might redeem those under the law, so that we might receive the adoption of sons. And Paul's writing to the Galatians, the Jews and Gentiles of Galatia. This is not the adoption that belongs to Israel. No, indeed, you are no longer a slave, but a son. A son, says the Apostle Paul in verse 7. Yes, adoption of sons in verse 5, heirs of God in verse 7. But where is their inheritance? Well, this remnant, this group of those who had called upon the Lord, predominantly Jews in the Acts period, but some Gentiles, well, we know where their inheritance is. They're going to be, in chapter 3, verse 9, blessed with faithful Abraham. Verse 7, Paul had already written, therefore know that those of faith, these are the sons or heirs of Abraham. And in verse 19 of that chapter, since they were Christ's, the Jews and Gentiles of the Acts period, then you are Abraham's seed, Paul wrote to them, and heirs according to the promise. It's the earth, isn't it? And in chapter 4, not only is it the earth, but it is also the new Jerusalem. Galatians 4:26. But the Jerusalem from above is free, who is the mother of us all. The Jerusalem from above is not the mother of us today. And in Galatians 4:27, the Apostle Paul quotes Isaiah 54. Would that my listener would read Isaiah 52, 53, and 54. That passage of prophecy has nothing to do with the church which is his body of today's dispensation, but very appropriate when Paul wrote Galatians in the Acts period. Yes, the remnant of the Acts period, the believing Jews and Gentiles, they have the earth, but they have something extra, this second company that we're talking about here. They have a Jerusalem which is from above. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. And remember, this called out company is blessed with Abraham. Oh, yes, they are. Most definitely. But look at what Paul writes in Hebrews 11. Now in Hebrews 11, Paul writes about Abraham and the call that we read in Genesis chapter 12, remember? Genesis 12, God said to Abraham, go to a land. Now look at the difference here. Hebrews 11:8, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out into a place which he was afterward going to receive for an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he went. Oh yes, the land is his inheritance and the inheritance of the nation that came through him. But look at verse 9. By faith he lived in the land of promise as a stranger. You see, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of the same promise with him. For, verse 10 says, he looked for a city which has foundations. Now in that land that Abraham dwelt, there was a city shown to Abraham. In that inner portion, there was a city shown to him. He knew about it. And this city has foundations whose builder and maker is God. This is something more than just the land, isn't it? There will be a great nation through Abraham, but there is another company of the same faith as Abraham, to inherit not only the land, but the something extra that Abraham looked for. Listen to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22, written in the Acts period. You, the faithful Hebrews, have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable company of angels. Now we have seen in Romans 9, that Israel has an adoption. They're a called out company. But in their history and in prophecy, God has shown that there is another company upon whom his name is called, and that is a remnant. And they are associated with Abraham, but also the city that Abraham looked for. Now, let's go to Revelation chapter 21, reading verse 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now, a bride needs a bridegroom. And that's the relationship between this company and our Lord. He is their bridegroom. He's not our bridegroom. He is the bridegroom. He completes or fills up this company that's associated with Abraham, the earth, and this heavenly Jerusalem. He's their bridegroom. And this group that are associated with this wonderful city are called virgins. Do you know when Paul wrote to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2, I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. This is in the Acts period, when the Corinthians were part of the remnant company of prophecy. I have espoused you to one husband to present you as a pure virgin to Christ. This company are called virgins. They're associated with that heavenly city called a bride. Can we see the consistency of Scripture here? Isn't this so simple? This is a called out company of the Acts period. They have an adoption. They are the heirs, not only on the earth, but they have access to a wonderful city that God built. Well, that's two called out companies that we've looked at this point. Company number one, or church number one, is Israel, destined to be a kingdom of priests on the earth to serve God. Their priest king is going to build a temple. The land is their inheritance. Called out company number two, within Israel and including Gentiles, a remnant showing the same faith as Abraham. Oh yes, they will be blessed in the land, but who like and with Abraham look for that city? This company is called a bride or a virgin company. Christ has redeemed them all. There's only one Saviour, but in relationship, he's the priest king of the kingdom of priests, Israel, and he's the bridegroom to the elect remnant of prophecy, the ones of faith. These are the major two churches, or called out companies, that we read about from Genesis chapter 12 to Acts 28. Let us now examine the third called out company of Scripture. And we find it in those letters written by Paul after Acts 28, when Israel as a nation was set aside, and the purposes for the earth and the New Jerusalem postponed. Let us turn to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. This is the first verse in the new dispensation given to us through Paul, which speaks about spiritual blessings, not on the earth, not in the New Jerusalem, but in the heavenlies, the very place where Ephesians 1:19 onwards says Christ has been raised and seated at God's right hand. This has nothing to do with Abraham or the earth. This is another called out company associated with an above heavenly purpose of God. I hope my listener can see the difference now in the calling of these post-Acts epistles, this third church. There is nothing mentioned of Abraham in these letters written after Acts 28. There is nothing about the New Jerusalem in Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus and Philemon. This must be a third called out company. And that's exactly what the post-Acts epistles are about, showing us that God has another purpose, which he didn't talk about before. It was hidden in himself. Ephesians 3:9. No, our blessings are all spiritual, and they are located where Christ is seated at God's right hand, not on the earth in the New Jerusalem, friends. Look at verse 4 of Ephesians 1. Our blessings all spiritual in the heavenlies. Verse 4 goes on to say, according as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Before Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Before Abraham saw the new Jerusalem. And what was his choice in verse 4? That we should be holy and without blame. Oh, wonderful. But wait, it's not just that we should be holy and without blame, but that we should be in front of his face, in the above heavens where Christ is seated at his right hand. That's the choice God made concerning this third called out company. Verse 4 finishes, that we should be holy and without blame before him, in front of his face. And we have been chosen to be holy and without blame in front of God's face in the heavenlies. Well then, does that mean we have an adoption? Well, look at this. Yes, it does. Three called out companies. Three adoptions. In Romans 9, an adoption that is exclusively belonging to Israel. In Galatians 4, an adoption that belongs to the remnant company, believing Jews and Gentiles of the Acts period. And look at this. A third adoption. Ephesians 1, verse 5. Having predestinated us to the adoption of not children, sons by Jesus Christ, to himself in the heavenly places, remember, according to the good pleasure of his will. Isn't the Word of God a wonderful book when we rightly divide it? Oh yes, verse 7 of Ephesians, we, like every other company, have been redeemed through his blood, and we have the forgiveness of sins. But our forgiveness is not according to any covenant, both the old or the new. Our forgiveness and our redemption is all in the one who was also the Lamb foreordained, what? Before the foundation of the world. So we have an adoption, and adoption is to place as an heir. Israel is an heir of God on the earth. The bride company, they have an adoption, and they're God's heirs, not only on the earth, but in the New Jerusalem. Look at verse 11 of Ephesians 1. In whom also we have an obtained an inheritance, being predestined. We're predestined to an adoption. We're predestined to an inheritance. And where is the place? Oh, the place is heavenly places. Well, let's look at chapter 1, verse 19. Our inheritance, our blessings, are where Christ has been raised. Paul prays for these Ephesians in verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the holiest of all. And what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us, the ones believing? It's according to the working of his mighty strength, which he worked in Christ, in raising him from the dead, and he seated him at his right hand in the heavenlies, far above all principality and authority and power and dominion, and every name being named, not only in this world, but also in the coming age. Yes, friends, in the coming age, Christ will be preeminent in all spheres, including ours, the above heavens. Verse 22, and he put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things, to what church? The church which is his body, the completeness or fullness of him who fills all in all. This is the third called out company, and we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, but Christ is the head over all things to the church which is his body. He is not our priest king. We are not a kingdom of priests. He is not our bridegroom. We are not chaste virgins. He is our head. We are his body. There are three called out companies or churches. Let's review them one more time. Israel, descendants of Abraham, a great and mighty nation, a kingdom of priests in the land with a priest king upon David's throne. They have an adoption. They are God's heirs on the earth. Church 2, a called out remnant of faith, the same faith as Abraham. They also are destined for the earth. But the new Jerusalem that descends to the earth, the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God, the city Abraham looked towards. They are the virgin company. Christ is the bridegroom. They have an adoption. Galatians 4, they are God's heirs in the inner portion of the land and the new Jerusalem. But here in Ephesians, and nowhere else in the Old Testament, the Gospels, or the Acts period, we have the revelation of a third called out company or church. The church which is his body, Christ is the head, the inheritance, or the adoption, is to an inheritance in the heavenly places where Christ is seated at God's right hand. Three places of blessing, three adoptions, all of them having Christ as the fullness or completeness, but very, very different. And we need to test things that are different if we are to not only rejoice in the word of truth, but in the calling or the church which is before us as believers today. Before we conclude this audio, here is just something else to consider as we study the scriptures regarding these three called out companies. Now, as to Israel and their inheritance on the earth. In Genesis chapter 13, God invited Abraham to walk the length and breadth of the land. Let's read that verse. Genesis 13, verse 17. Rise up and walk through the land, says the Lord, in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it to you. There are two dimensions here, the length and the breadth. Now let's come to the second called out company, those of like faith of Abraham, who look not only for the land, but the New Jerusalem. We have already seen this heavenly city in Revelation 21. Let's look at its dimensions in Revelation 21, verse 16. And the city lies four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 stadia. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. In this company, three dimensions. Now, let's come to Ephesians and the phrase Paul uses in chapter 3. Remember that Ephesians and the truth therein contained goes way back before the foundation of the world, before the creation of Genesis chapter 1. And in Ephesians we have a creation not of the heavens and the earth, but of the one new man. And this one new man, the believing Jew and Gentile of today, grows into a holy sanctuary in the Lord. Ephesians 2:22, in whom we also are built together for a dwelling place of God through the Spirit. A dwelling place for God in the heavenly places. This creation going back before the foundation of the world. Now, skipping the parenthesis of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 to 13, we pick up Paul's thought in verse 14 of chapter 3. For this cause I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 15. Of whom every fatherhood in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith, that we, being rooted and grounded in love, verse 18, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. Here in the love of Christ there are four dimensions. Three called out companies. Three groups of believers all redeemed by Christ on the cross, but each company in a different relationship. Christ the priest king to Israel, the bridegroom of the virgin company, and the head of the church which is his body. And each company with a separate adoption, a separate place of blessing with different blessings, and uniquely associated with different dimensions. Friends, I pray that this little audio will help you to see the great calling wherewith we are called today, and rejoice in the truth regarding the church which is his body and the inheritance given by grace in the heavenly places where Christ is seated at God's right hand.